Hi there, this is Christine. After Act 3 of Dead in the Water, we're going to change up our format for a few weeks with a pair of discussion episodes where the Heroes cast reflects on our experiences with Dead in the Water. Send in your questions about the adventure or the show to heroes@theheidianway.com. Please support the show by telling your friends and coworkers and by leaving us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. It really helps out. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Welcome to this episode of Heroes of the Heidian Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently, our story is Dead in the Water, and it can be found in the Star Wars Age of Rebellion's GM's Kit. This is Act 3, Episode 3, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
Hi there, I'm Christine. I play the currently slightly tipsy Lieutenant Nima Ptolemy. And her duty is personnel.
Hey, I'm Chris, and I play Mandalorian Commando Motu Ordo, who has not yet come to grips with his force sensitivity and is currently hiding it from the team while he is achieving his duty of combat victory.
TV-93 is played by Brent. I'm a slicer and a sharpshooter. My duty is enemy demoralization, which is quite challenging, as meat sacks have indetectably low levels of morals.
And I'm Kith, who likes to think of herself as an encouraging sort, in spite of the company and her penchant for destroying things.
So, to get to know our characters better, I'd like to ask a question of them. And this episode is going to be a question for Nima. You don't seem to like Shula all that much, or having anything to do with crime, anything to do with a crime empire. What in Nima's past has caused this?
Oh, what's caused that? Well, a few things. For one, I spent most of my career on the other side of the law, the side enforcing it, not working alongside criminals. Now, I understand that things are not black and white when you're running a rebellion, but there are criminals and then there are the Hutts. They are crime lords. They keep billions of sentient beings under their thumbs. And they engage in some practices that make the Empire look tame. Like, the way that they handle slavery is absolutely repulsive. And the simple fact that we're even dealing with one of these things right now, just... Can we get on with the mission?
And to get a recap, can I get that from Matu?
Right, mission report. Last time I woke up from a nap. It was a very lovely nap. Nothing happened during the nap. I experienced no strange visions or dreams. Then we were given additional orders by Captain Sartulli, who stated that we had to deploy immediately to hunt down the traitor, Captain Ogluck, who betrayed us with these horrible, horrible droids. So we moved out immediately after procuring the necessary equipment, including grenades, simpacks, and an additional set of repair patches, which we learned were simpacks for droids. We then moved on to returning to Port Tuga, our only lead in the entire operation, aboard a shuttlecraft. Nothing happened on the shuttlecraft at all. We made contact with an individual who said they could get us into contact with Shula the Hutt. This individual was, of course, the Wookiee that I bested in combat previously. We had a nice chat with a gentleman who admired my sword, gave us a bit of advice as to find where Ogluck was moving on, where we managed to surmise that perhaps this individual was working not for the rebellion or even for themselves, but for the Empire. We then proceeded to go to the meeting where we encountered a handful of protocol droids from the same shipment who attempted to do the same thing to us on the Shadow Raptor. And now I'm going to shoot them. All of them.
I know things.
So we wound up with a pool of 4 dark side and 2 light side for the evening.
Mm-hmm. And I will roll for the duty triggering.
Ooh.
Of which this is absolutely at 10. It is going to be Nima.
It's not at all that she's reflecting on past successes. She's just pretty angry right now because she's been dealing with a hut. That does not make her happy. And then now we've got droids busting in on us. And she's got something to kill.
Yeah, thank you, Doom. All right. To describe the scene that's currently sitting in front of you, the four of you are standing in front of this hut that's just sort of off in the corner. There's a nightclub that you've gone through. There's this, like, an entire dance club worth of people. In behind the bar, you've got a chiss bartender, like, these glowing red eyes. And you've got this hut that's just sort of standing, like, well, standing, sitting there. You can tell that she is the one who is trying to keep control of this entire port. Like, this is her play toy. Music's going on, there's a dampening field around the hut, but you can still hear the boom, 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 boom of the nightclub going on. Yeah, like, you can still hear the music, it definitely is booming. Patrons are off there grooving, and the droids are starting to shoot, I mean, really. And, yeah, I do want to get vigilance off of everyone. So, Matthew has 3 successes.
Good.
Kith has 4 advantages, which is slightly better than TV.
Nima has 4 successes and an advantage.
She might be drunk, but man, she's angry enough to bleed through just like, focus.
We didn't give you a black for being drunk there, Nima? Did we not do that?
Oh, you want to give me a black here?
I don't know, I'm just...
No, I
can
okay
do it.
That.
Boom, nothing.
Oh, I was blank.
Yeah.
You just may want to make sure she doesn't accidentally train her blaster on the hut, because that would be the worst idea in the galaxy.
The bad guys come up with somehow the worst, like, with TV getting one advantage, you'd think that that would be the worst, but no, the protocol droids get even worse than that. So the way that this is going to go is 2 PCs, an NPC, 2 PCs. If there's still an NPC around, then they go.
Well, I've been thinking about this, but technically Nima gets the first move, so...
Well, we get to pick who takes what slot. If you've got a cool idea,
sure, but I mean, like,
by all means.
Yeah, I do, but I don't want to steal it. If you would like to go first, you are more than welcome.
No, go ahead. I okay. Bequeath it to you. The first initiative right. slot.
And somehow, Matu marvels at the fact that he has somehow become the leader of this mission because Nima is addled both with alcohol and rage. And I think...
This is why you have a second
I
in command.
I think he probably... Yeah, I think he probably knows her well enough that the concern you just stated about her using this as an opportunity to shoot the hut is probably one he's actually considered in this moment. and this is going to be one of those firefights where someone accidentally shoots a hut. So I think his initial thought is to shut this down as fast as possible. And I'm sorry, Ben, can you remind me one more time, how many protocol droids are we talking about?
We have 2 groups of 5.
Okay. And they're surrounding us, basically, right?
Yeah, they're at medium range to you. They're at short range to you. Like, okay. This is in a nightclub. You're off to one of the sides.
Okay, so I think I've worked out the moves on this correctly. So the first thing he's going to do is use a maneuver to reach into his pocket, grab the restraining bolt, and toss it to Kif. And he's going to say to her, to use that to make them to stop! And so he points at the restraining bolt, points at TJ-11's head.
Did we bring the head?
And points at the protocols. Presume you did. You didn't say.
I mean,
you didn't.
I have no problems carrying it, but I don't think we've mentioned it.
But we didn't mention.
I'm totally fine still carrying
the
stupid thing around. I've developed the habit of talking to it.
Barbarians.
So that's his maneuver, and then his blaster rifle has the weapon sling, so he can draw it as an incidental. All right, I think part of me wants to just shoot into the air to cause chaos and pandemonium, but I think if he wants to try to milk Shula the Hut to get more out of her, he's going to have to show, by saving her and the nightclub and as many patrons as possible, he's just going to get more favor from her. And plus, he's a Mandalorian. He has to win the battle, not just run from it.
We should do a turtle-style dance sing.
No. We're not doing
this. Mando, Mando, rap. Mando, Mando, rap.
So I think what he's going to do is... he's going to take aim at whatever group is behind TV, because I think the instinct here is that everyone needs to shoot at whoever's behind the other people.
I see. Like, we're all spinning around and firing over the shoulder of our fellows.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that absolutely makes sense to me. Sure.
Okay, so I will shoot.
You did leave me with all of these... destiny points. So I'm gonna flip
shiny
one.
Shiny dark side. Uh-huh.
So shiny. And since you are shooting past TV, I'm gonna give you a setback, essentially giving them environmental cover. So one red, one setback.
Okay, so I'm gonna take two strain to aim as well. So I've got two yellow, a green, a blue against a red and a black.
Oh my.
And it starts all right, again.
So that's a success to advantage, triumph, and despair.
It's a brilliant
awesome. I mean, these are my favorites. Do we have to shoot? Do we have to have shot TV, right? Like, that's what happened?
Well, no. Something bad has to have happened from you shooting. Like, it could be you shoot TV. On the other hand, you're shooting in a populated nightclub.
Yeah, I don't know. I really love the idea of shooting TV, but I feel like it would just negate so much character development we've fought to do.
Hey,
so
hey, he shot you before. He owes you one.
Yeah, I feel like TV's trust is a lot shorter than Mato's is on that front. Gosh. So I think we'll do all
okay,
the
let's deal with the positive stuff first.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and... Let's see, that's 11. Ten damage, and I'll go ahead and crit, so I kill one of them.
Actually, that's two.
Okay, two between. Okay, so he shoots down two.
Between
of them.
Just raw damage and doing the crit, yeah, you're just sort of throwing enough blaster fire behind TV to wipe out two of these that go skittering backwards, bouncing against a wall.
I think for the advantages, I'm just gonna simply pass them off. For a blue for whoever's next. And then I think my despair is I hit someone else in the crowd. I don't see them. I don't even know what happened. And this person's super important to Shula the Hutt. And, you know, we don't even have to say what it is now. We can just have that come back to haunt us later. But there's like a fourth blaster bolt that kind of is unaccounted for. And someone crumples to the ground, either injured or dead. I don't know.
Okay. No, I kind of like that. One of the rest of you is next.
Well, I think Mattu has started this whole firing at droids over the other person's shoulder kind of thing. I feel obliged to continue it. Nima, when all this started happening, you know, Mattu is reacting a little faster and starts firing, and she sees what he's doing, and it clicks in. And so she's going to quick draw her dragoon and direct her fire past Mattu at the droids that were directly behind him.
Nice.
I will go ahead and aim with my maneuver.
I'm just sort of feeling the call to do the same sort of thing of flipping that destiny point, turning into one red, one black.
Do we actually want to give me another setback simply because she is tipsy to account for, hey, when that pops
okay,
up.
Yeah, I could definitely go with that.
Just for fun. I did this to her. Or she did this to herself. It all depends on how you look at it. So Nima has a green and two yellow and two blue between her aim and the accurate quality on her weapon versus a red and two black because she's shooting over Mattu and she's a little tipsy. Just a clean, two successes and two advantages. Oh, I forgot the boost from Mattu.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. However, I do have a laser sight on my pistol, which actually gives me three advantages. And so that is...
Okay.
I'm going to turn that into 10 damage, and I'm going to go ahead and do the boring thing and the crit right now to help clear away some of these guys. So Nima... normally with the shield, she fires more sporadically because she doesn't, you know, she's not able to aim down the barrel and things like that. But under these circumstances, she can, and she's just going to squeeze off two quick shots in succession to hit a pair of the droids.
Okay, and in doing so, yeah, two of them go flying backwards on that side and skitter into that wall. So now the two groups of five are now two groups of three. So that's a huge reduction in what they're able to do against you.
Go team!
Woo!
They are, for whatever reason one wants to say, it is going to be the group that was right next to Matu. Like, still at short range, but they're going to be shooting at Matu.
They're going to shoot you in the back.
That's just rude. Nah, you wouldn't expect that. At least try to. Droids.
They couldn't break me before.
They're droids. They're trying to go for the simple and easy method. So, what sort of defenses does Matu have?
He has no ranged defense. He only has melee defense.
Okay. Thought I would check. Force point?
I think he's just going to take it.
Okay. No, I'm just wanting to give the offer of whether you want to do it or not.
Oh, nah.
Okay.
I'm fully healed, so I'm good.
All right. Let's see how this goes.
I should have done it.
So these guys kind of getting revenge for Nima's hit do a total of, well, okay, here's the thing. They do 7 damage.
Total?
Does that actually hit you? Like, get past your soak?
One does. 1 point okay. of damage goes through.
That one wound is going to deal a crit, I think.
Right.
Yeah, that, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right for a crit.
Yeah, they shot you in the armpit or something.
Nah, do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Or melt the sword, because you're shooting my back, right? Damage the sword.
Okay, that one I like. Damaging it 1 degree.
Yes.
And now it's going to be Matt2's turn to be enraged.
I was about to say, we don't even need a GM. We'll just hurt ourselves tonight.
Right.
I'll be drunk. Blow up my sword. This is a great idea.
So now, every time I use the sword, there's a black, right? Is that, that's how that works?
It'll be a setback, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just checking. I haven't done damaged equipment in a while.
It's just 1 degree of broken?
There are 3 degrees of broken before they are inoperable. First degree is a setback for everything. Second degree is a increase in difficulty, so an extra purple for everything. And the third degree is it's inoperable. Fourth degree is generally it's irreparable. So that brings us to TV and Kith. Oh, what do you guys want to do with the setback or the threat?
You've been treating these guys a little bit like the B1s. Maybe we can turn it into a setback where they fire and they hit Matu's sword, you know, they hit him in the back, and Matu just turns and glares at him for a moment. They're like, uh-oh.
Okay, yeah, no, that totally works.
When I reach back there, it better be intact, or I'm going to use your armor plating to repair it.
TV, you want to take a crack at things?
TV's response to these sort of situations is uncomplicated. He would spin around, use his maneuver to grab his blaster carbine, take 2 strain to do a true aim maneuver, which will give him 2 upgrades, and he will fire into the same group Matu was shooting at.
Are you shooting across the group, or that's the one question?
The ones that were behind me.
Okay. In that case, you know, I think that is just going to be a purple.
11. That is the true aim, so it's 2 upgrades. You'll hit with 3 success and 3 advantage. So he just spins around and just starts pumping blaster bolts from his carbines into these guys. Bright blue bolts. And does base 9 damage, 12 damage before soak. And his critical is in fact 3 advantage. So we'll also do a crit.
All right. So with the stuff that's been going around, this group is done for. So between Matu and TV shooting at this group is now just all 5 of them on the ground with smoking holes in them. And off to the side, a smoking Twi'lek.
Oh no.
we wounded Frenchie, the doorman?
Yeah, there's that there's the sound from the Jabba's palace that when it's, I think, who is it that enters? Is it, I think it's when Leia enters disguised as Boosh. And then there's like the pew pew sound, and then like people gathered all around, like tending to it. Matu doesn't even notice. He's too busy posing in the center. Just kind of calmly puts his rifle back on his back. He really wants to check his sword because he's concerned, but he doesn't want to show hesitation in front of Shula. Just calmly turns around and says, so we were discussing.
Well, there are still three of them there.
Oh, shoot. Man.
So there are still three protocol droids.
I kind of like the idea of Matu starts doing that. Meanwhile, like Kith is blowing up somewhere in the body.
While that's happening, Kith is doing her thing. Okay, so what is Kith doing?
Well, Kith was instructed to restraining bolt TJ's head, which isn't much of a problem unless he doesn't have a power source in his head. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, currently it is actually just the depowered head of TJ, yes.
Can they make battery packs?
Yeah, no, you could definitely...
Like, I could have just one of those in my toolkit and plug him in?
No, you absolutely could do that.
In that case, Kith is going to cross her legs and just fall to the ground in a cross-legged seat with the head kind of in her lap, and she's going to plug in a battery pack and install the restraining bolt and see if she can make it do what Matu wants. But is that going to be computers or is that going to be mechanics?
For this, it really feels like a mechanics type thing. So you're trying to power on TJ, use the restraining bolt on TJ's head to then knock down the other three droids.
Or at least begin the process of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Matu understands whether this is even possible. It's just his instinct.
Well, at the same time, though, Kith has a thought. Basically, she wants to get into the droid's cranium to begin with. Now that this is happening, shall we say, again. So she wants to do some snooping anyway. So she's going to do what she was told and see if it works.
You're under pressure. It sounds like it's a hard thing to begin with. This definitely sounds like something I should be spending a destiny point on. With all that, I'm figuring it should be one purple, two red, and two setback, because you're dropping down in the middle of a firefight, all this stuff's going on. Almost instinctively, you're trying to do this. So yeah, I'm going with that would be the difficulty. One purple, two red, two setback.
Well, one purple, two red, one setback, which gets ignored. Because, you know, this is my element. You know, I dig into mechanic stuff when I'm having a bad day. And I think having rampant blaster fire in an awful club counts as a bad day. I am going to use Christine's mantra of if it's there to spend and you think about it, flip the point. Which gets me a green, since I'm already maxed out on yellows. That's one purple, two red, no setbacks because I sneer at setbacks. one green and three yellow. All right, guys, let's rock and roll.
Hey. That's what I want to see. More of
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
Okay. That is, gentle listeners, a roll that netted me one success, one advantage, and one triumph.
Nice. This is a mechanics check, powering up TJ's head, using a restraining bolt on it at the same time. So what does this do to those three protocol droids that are standing?
All right. So what I'm picturing is literally she drops down, and as she's dropping, she's pulling the battery pack. She's already got the restraining bolt kind of in one hand, so she's kind of cradling the head in her arms as she falls, and she flips open the thing and jams the battery pack and inserts the restraining bolt, and just something in her head clicks, and she knows exactly what to push. So she sticks her fingers in, because she does things like that, and just kind of wires something that sends out like a little broadcast that just, meep, they just kind of do the droid deflation thing, where they kind of lean forward with their arms kind of loose.
Like with this, you are using, there is a triumph on this, so I'm absolutely going with this. Like that just sounds near perfect.
So then I think, like, the whole scene that I said before, this is, I guess, how it plays out. TV shoots the last one. Matu very calmly puts his gun away, turns around, saunters, and be like, we were negotiating something. Shula looks up and's like, there's still three droids there. And then Kif pushes the button and they turn off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That is exactly what happens. Yeah, that just sounds perfect for it.
Why did you shoot the Twi'lek?
What are you talking about?
The dead meat sack. You shot them.
He kind of cranes his head over. Oh, I didn't do that.
You did. I saw you. You shot them.
Okay, TV, I'm ordering you to tell me the truth because this is not a time for your run of ridiculous ploys. Did I actually shoot them?
Yes.
Oh, and then he takes a step back and gently nudges Nima forward.
Would you like me to testify as to your mental competence?
Nima is going to holster her blaster pistol. Is the Twi'lek dead as far as we can tell from here?
No, it looks like a couple of the people are tending to them. You can see, the Chiss has leapt over the bar, and with their glowing eyes, they're sort of running over and like starting to do emergency first aid on the Twi'lek. It's at that point where a couple more protocol droids force their way into sort of the clearing, at which point the Chiss yells out, "Got them!" And the crowd surges on the protocol droids, almost kind of body surfing them back and in behind the bar.
Did he say get them or gut them?
I thought he said go at them.
I don't know. I don't understand Chiss accents.
The sound dampening field is really messing with a lot of things that I can't really get a...
So TV kind of turns and points his blaster carbine at the Twi'lek. Should I finish
him
off?
No, no. Nima's going to slap his carbine down. Matu?
It's a simple matter.
No.
I could just...
Matu, why don't you go over there and see if you can't earn us back some goodwill?
Fine.
Right. All right, I'll take. Yeah, so I'll try to wade my way. I'll wait until they're done having their oil-frenzied... ripping apart of droids, which is the second time we've had a group of people frenzy.
It is the third time now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
This time, it just looks like they're depositing him in behind the bar.
It was just a minor riot.
Yeah, like, they're not. It's not like they're rending him limb from limb like you've seen rebel troopers do it. They're not near that blood crate.
Okay.
This is much more of like a mosh pit that's gotten a little out of control.
Got it.
Not completely out of control. So
so Matu is going to try to push his way through. He's like, out of the way, medic coming through. I can help with that blaster where the droid shot him.
But I did not.
Not you, the other ones.
A different droid. There were lots here.
Usually when you say the droid, you're devaluing me.
No, no. And we can't do that even among ourselves anymore because we have Raimi.
Don't remind me.
Yes.
Aw, he's cute. Okay.
Hateful.
Here's going to be an interesting question. Is Shula going to still have a protocol droid to translate?
Well, yeah, I've got control of some of them.
Actually, in this case, Shula is one of these huts that actually does kind of do basic. Like, does do normal speech. Kind of like Zero.
Who?
From Clone Wars.
Zero.
Yeah, there's also been a whole idea before that a number of the Hutts do speak basic. They just choose not to because it, to do so in the presence of...
Previously, Shula had been going through a protocol droid. Now, three of them are sort of powered down. The rest of them are in smoking craters and piles against various walls. And Shula goes, oh, thank you. I don't know what I would have done without you.
Nima is smiling kind of grimly as a couple of horrible thoughts go through her head on how she could answer this. And she's actually going to hold her tongue, though, and say, I don't know what you would have done either. Now, can we conclude our business?
Oh, I'm sure that we can come to an equitable arrangement. You were asking after Captain Oaklerk?
Yes. We need to know where she is or where she's going to be.
She has been on the station only the once. which is when she did dealings with you. I have had reports of her first mate, Cog, who has been to the station once before, and they saw a BIM junk dealer on the station named Quigley, and Cog was also seen with a balding spacer at the Barbie Harpy. This Cog used the same transport as Uglerk, and he left the station with after your deal was concluded.
With Uglerk?
Yes, Cog and Uglerk left together.
What do you know about Tegan? It's off of the Listel run.
Mostly that they put out droids, mostly of good quality. And they've recently been going into doing protocol droids as the primary bit of their business.
Let me guess, that's where these came from.
I can't say for certain. Maybe if you take some of these remains to the junk dealer, you can get where they were constructed.
My thoughts exactly. Matu, is he going to make it?
I don't know. What's the sitch here? Do I need a roll medical or something?
So it would be an average check if you're wanting to, like, heal him some.
I would try if you think the other people will let me.
As you approach with, like, a first aid kit or stim pack, yeah, the bartender would lick you up and down, see that you're wearing Mandalorian-style armor, and not really move out of the way, but keep space open for you.
All right, we'll do it. I've got two yellow against two purple. Let's see what happens. Hey, look at that. Success, threat, triumph.
What?
We're killing it today, you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed that I haven't rolled a triumph now. I feel like I'm letting everybody down.
All right, so no, with the triumph, I'm going with, since there isn't a crit on him, which the triumph would allow you to heal, I'm going with the way that you're bandaging him up. It's going to take him like a day or so to actually fully heal, but he's going to heal from this. Like, you're bandaging it up properly. You're doing a proper field dressing on it. And I'm figuring, yeah, with the triumph, it fully heals him.
Don't you worry. We got that nasty droid that shot you.
The threat is he does not believe this at all.
I saw you shot me. I saw you do it.
The threat is he was watching it happen.
Yeah. I'm just sort of figuring he's just glaring at you. It's like, leave.
Will you just get out of my freaking bar, man?
Perhaps if you gave him some credits.
I don't have any credits.
We're not giving him credits.
How about some chocolate?
Come on.
Can I have some chocolate?
This is how they treat me as well.
Kith is actually still sitting on the floor putzing with mechanic stuff.
Nima's gonna do the like the mom thing where she picks up some of the droid scrap, puts it under one arm, and then she's gonna walk over and grab Kith like by the shoulder and just sort of pulling her up on her feet as Kith continues to tinker as we're walking out the door.
TB just nods at him and says, "They call me Gear," and he kind of shrugs and follows along.
Who are you nodding to?
The guy.
The Twi'lek? That hates Matu almost as much as you do now?
We have so much in common.
Did TV make a friend?
He has mistaken you. He thinks that's your nickname, by the way. He's like, "Ah, this Gear, I shall find him and we shall get revenge on that horrible Mandalorian." All right, that so sounds...
yeah,
we got intel. So Bald Dude, the Barbie Harpy, and what was the other one?
And a junk
yeah, dealer. The junk dealer.
Split up?
I'll give you this one sort of for free with just because, well, mostly on account of as they're describing this or as they were describing this bald dude, it was the guy that you had already talked to.
Oh.
The guy that sent you.
No, the guy yeah. I was drinking with.
Yeah, that guy.
Wasn't he a Wiffed? Droid Arm Amos or something?
Yeah. Kind of bald.
Okay. It's like picturing a bald Yeti. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we have the junk dealer Quigley to deal with.
Oh, okay. So we have already got all... I see. So we've got the info that we're going to get from the bald person because we already talked to them. And so we've got Quigley.
I suspect he's going to confirm what we already know of that these droids came from Tegan, and that's going to be the next place we need to investigate. But let's cross our T's and dot our I's.
What do we know about Tegan?
And it's off the list we'll run, and it manufactures droids. That's about it right now.
What knowledge check should we roll?
I would go with an Outer Rim knowledge check, because this is pretty close to the edge of the Hydean Way.
All right. Well, I...
Difficulty?
Yeah, I only got 2 greens, guys, so this one's all on you.
I've got 3.
I'm also just 2 green. I have knowledge of core worlds, but that doesn't count here.
TV?
Has no skill. 3 green.
Okay,
so...
What about... Sorry, real quick. Raimi's statted up, right?
He's back on the ship, isn't he?
Sure.
And
we can calm him.
Has two green.
If somebody...
2 green, okay.
In the end, has 2 green.
I think Kith is the most likely person to spout something out.
About droid factories and things?
Yeah, and I can just see it while we're discussing it. You know, Matt and Nima are arguing back and forth. Kith is trying to interrupt and speak up, and finally just like, hey, I know... I've been there once before.
Any chance I get a boost for everyone else debating?
Yeah, I'd totally do that. You know, I'm kind of thinking that this is going to be a 1 purple, 1 red, 1 setback.
Flip a light side. Do it.
Yeah, totally flipping a light side.
Yeah, like, this is kind of an obscure thing. That's a reason for getting the red. And, well, there's a lot of loudness going on, so setback.
Yeah, but if you're talking loudness, that's kind of my element, remember? I know, it's a different kind of loudness.
Yeah, not the mechanics kind of loudness.
All right, 2 green. It's not got machines quite as focused in it. 2 green, 1 yellow, 1 blue, 1 purple, 1 red, 1 black. It's a very busy roll.
It is.
But it's a successful roll.
Our bickering helps.
And the bickering
helps,
yeah.
Just for clarity. The setback did nothing because it's noise. She can ignore it. However, her own knowledge did nothing. The bickering triggered a memory of something she heard once from this guy. And she gets 2 success and a threat because the Force doesn't like her right now.
I don't think you can be electrocuted off of a knowledge check. And again, you are playing with TJ's head.
Thank heaven. I was about to say, technically, I am still tinkering in a droid brain.
Yeah, and I'm just sort of figuring, yeah, one last sort of zap from that.
You turd.
You two told it before
one zap
I did.
For old times.
Yeah, pretty much. Just because I haven't been able to zap Nima yet.
The one threat is a strain?
Yes, 1 strain.
Okay, and the success tells me?
The success tells you 2 things. 2 success, 2 things. Seems like a plan. Okay.
I like it.
First thing is, the primary species on Tegan is Devon. The things that you know about the Devon is they have very weird ways of communicating. It's entirely ultrasonics. It's outside of most normal beings' hearing. So the reason why they have created a fairly large droid facility, like droid factories, is because they produce a lot of protocol droids because they need a protocol droid to be able to communicate with the galaxy. Like, they're fairly insular. The Tegan Tech Consortium headquarters there, and yeah, these are the guys who manufacture a wide swath of droids, but primarily their construction is in protocol droids. Some of their own design, some subcontracting to Cybot Galactica for their C-series, like 3PO. They haven't really gotten into the Verpine thing yet, because those things just freak them out. The big bug eyes.
Okay, tell me about a Devon, because I went to school with a Devon. Other than that, I have no context.
They are short, squat creatures. They normally are wearing goggles because their eyes are amazingly sensitive. They live underground, for the most part, and they're short. I'd actually go with them being silhouette 0. All their communication is outside of normal auditory for anyone. They communicate in ultrasonics, they hear in ultrasonics, they see in infrared. Their senses are not what the galaxy uses, so they stay close to home.
You know, this is an odd thought, but we're going on to a planet where we might be encountering Imperial agents, we might be encountering enemy Devon who could communicate in the ultra frequencies that we can't even hear. We might need something to disrupt their communications. What if we borrowed the sound dampener from inside?
I have a feeling Shula probably doesn't want to part with that.
Can you build one?
I could try.
We are going to see a junk dealer. Maybe we can buy one or buy the pieces we need.
Ooh, that is definitely a thing that could happen.
Building montage.
All right. he gives Kif like a big slap on the back. Be on the lookout.
Kif, who has a droid arm, a droid head in one arm, and a tool in one hand, just glares at him. Like, I'm working here.
Do you want me to hold your droid head, or what's the problem?
I'm trying to finish something.
Sorry, sorry.
She makes a face at him as he walks away.
And, yeah, let's go to Quigley's before we attract too much attention standing around in the hallway with droid pieces in hand.
Is it Quigley's the junk wonder from Down Under?
Is he played by Tom Selleck?
No.
Mustache.
That's what I'm picturing.
So I'm going with the mustache. Yes. Yeah. I'm sort of going with, yeah, the Quigley does have a mustache, but no, not the Down Under kind.
You just don't want to do the accent.
Oh, righto. Yes.
Jumps out almost, I'm sort of thinking of like an energetic kind of gnome from D&D. Like, just sort of jumps out.
Oh, yes. How can I help you? Oh, you have a droid head.
And he just starts poking at it.
Hey, to go with
like,
it.
Looking
step
at
off.
It.
Like,
oh, hey.
She stomps at him. She can't, like, she can't fight because her arms are full. She's kind of stuck. I'm doing something here. Ask. Look with your eyes, not with your hands.
Look, you're covering most of it. How can I see inside?
Did you ask?
Barbarians.
We're not here about the droid head. Well, not that one, anyway. Nima's going to put the...
It's a perfectly good droid head.
Nima's going to put the runes of the protocol droid on the front desk.
Ooh, that's more of a complete droid.
As you guys go to the front desk, you can see a couple Bactoid B1 battle droid remote processor units on the shelf. Like, you can sort of see not quite, like, they're parts of the torso of B1s. With TV in sort of deep subroutines, sees these droid parts and is, like, reading off sort of the original data sheet of them. It's like, oh, yeah, those are for B1 command units.
Hate them.
You hate what?
You're the droid who hates other droids.
B1 command units.
As you set the protocol droid on the desk, I actually do want to get a 2 purple, 1 setback mechanic check from you guys for trying to get to useful, identifiable parts within this protocol droid.
Did Kif assist with this, or was she too busy with the head?
Is this for the B1, or is this for the protocol droid bits? I'm confused.
This is for the B1 stuff was sort of on the shelves as you were going in. Like, they were parts of note. Otherwise, it's essentially random electronics secondhand stuff. Like, you can see a couple data pads and stuff like that. This is for trying to get to useful, identifiable parts inside this protocol droid. TV might want to look away.
Yeah, Nima was just grabbing pieces at this point. Is it one of those things of, is this a retroactive check, or is this, now that the droid bits are on the table, opening it up and digging through for the right pieces?
That's it, the second one. Gotcha. Now that you guys actually have it on a table and going through it for identifiable chips and whatnot.
Next time we shoot a meat sack, I'm just going to reach in and grab a kidney.
What are you going to do with a kidney, TV? They get smelly.
What are you going to do with bits of head? It's not my fault we're superior and we don't smell.
Children, please.
Kif gets really thoughtful at that observation. Kif, that's true.
Pass that to the droid head. Why don't you take a look at what we have up here?
Okay. So she turns to Matu.
I put it in the backpack.
No. She's in the middle of doing something. You're not just chucking it in the backpack. Unless you want an angry boffin up your nose.
So he has to hold it exactly the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. You have to
hold like a. There's a screwdriver sticking out of it. I have to hold a screwdriver.
Exactly.
It occasionally sparks.
Don't worry about that. It's low grade. You'll be fine.
I think it's staring at me.
Well, turn it to face the other way. Carefully. Okay. So Kif will join Quigley.
Oh, yes. You obviously know what you're doing. Takes a look at the tools that are hanging off of your outfit.
That's a mighty fine tool sack you have.
Starts to go to access panels and starts actually taking the droid apart in the proper sort of service fashion. Not just ripping parts open. It's, oh, this is where the release hatches are.
Does he like line the parts up on his desk? Like,
yes.
This is from you know, quadrant A, from quadrant B, these screws go here?
Pretty much. And also you can see that he's setting aside the damaged parts and keeping all the stuff that is completely intact.
Okay. So Kith will be, I guess, assisting and studying.
Okay, so yeah, this is going to be I'm going to go with one purple, one red, one setback, mechanics check.
Did you just upgrade it?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Because I had already written down two purple, one setback, but just saying. And this is just general mechanics?
Yep, just general mechanics.
Do I get a boost since I'm working with somebody who knows what they're doing?
I would go with heck yes.
One purple, one red, ignoring the setback. All right, so Quigley's arranging and everything, and Kif is politely not touching to demonstrate proper etiquette when it comes to handling other people's projects, but she is kind of pointing and muttering to herself as she goes through the parts with Quigley. Okay, so she's studying these with him, and as he's pulling them apart, she spots a part that looks really useful and asks politely if she can pick it up, because it looks like it has some of the information we'll need. Does he say yes?
Yes, most certainly.
It zaps her. She's okay. She's statically charged from what she was doing before. Unless you don't want it.
This is going to lead to like a shaved Bothan or something.
I already figured just she like, can't have very much fur on her hands at this point.
Well, like I said, her hands are always wrapped up, like bandaged, so.
Yeah, I'm just figuring all the rest of the fur is just little too dry, so it's always causing her static.
She actually just generates her own static field.
Pretty much. Pulls out what looks to be a modified restraining bolt.
TTC. That's a Tegan Tech Corporation. But it's very weird that they have a... It's very, very weird that they have a restraining bolt that does this. It looks like it overrides programming. I've never seen one before. Without this, it should just be a normal protocol droid. But with this, it...
Why don't we roll to see if he's lying?
That's motive. That's usually discipline to see through deception.
He said he's never seen one before, but we got pointed here from Shula. So how does that working?
He said he's never seen that weird restraining bolt. He's probably seen plenty of droids.
I'm happy to check if he's lying. Or
if
not.
You want to do something, honestly, it's going to be more of an active thing. If you want to sort of like say pin him to the wall or like try and charm him into something, I'm a bit more.
I would love to coerce him, but I am holding a droid.
You can go back to being
that's
menacing.
Only worth well. On the other hand, you are holding a droid head that has its eyes up and a screwdriver sticking out of it that's every now and then sparking. Is that not creepy?
Nah.
Matthew could threaten somebody to death.
It's probably not that creepy for a guy who works with droids, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, you raise a good point.
On the other hand, Nima absolutely could do something.
I don't want to pin him to the wall. I don't think that's the direction she would go there. I think she's going to take a different tactic of when he starts rattling on about that, she's going to, at this point, step a little closer. She was staying out of the whole mechanics business, and then she's going to just very subtly encourage him along of, tell me more. Have you ever, does this remind you of any particular piece of technology? Could you hazard a guess where it might come from?
Were you wanting to do a roll on that, or were you just trying to tease information out of him?
Yes. Because I don't see her pinning him to the wall or anything. She's just stepping closer to help ask questions, nudge him along, because this guy seems like he likes to talk already.
Yeah, roll cop. Roll your
John McClane.
Like, it almost sounds like a little bit of charm. Like, I'm kind of groping for a
I think charm is our best fit. I'm not really negotiating, because I'm not offering him up something for the information. So I think
but he likes us.
Charm.
Roll your Poirot.
Or he at least likes Kith, because, you know, we're on the same wavelength. So maybe he's better disposed to chatting.
I was going to say, what's your highest social role? Because it almost could be skullduggery. Right?
That's definitely not her highest. Anima has a cunning of one. leadership is her highest, and I don't see this This guy is not under my authority.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I think,
I totally get that.
I think charm is kind of what it sounds the most like right now. Unless maybe it's something like I'm egging him on and it's more a matter of when does he pick up that he's rattling all this off when he could be asking money for information? Because Nima has a very good poker face.
No, that I actually could see.
Yeah, so make this perhaps a cool check instead.
Okay, yeah. It's going to be a hard cool check. But I'm figuring that with Kith's help, it's going to be a upgraded one for you. Like, you get the upgrade.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and spend the light side point because I always like it when it gives me a whole other die. Looking at three yellow and a green versus three...
Yeah, I'm going with it.
Failure with three advantages.
The line of trying to tease this out has been trying to just get him to talk more about the restraining bolt and what he's seen regarding to the protocol droids, right?
Yes, because he's already he already gave us the primary information we wanted, which is the confirmation that this came from Tegan. The restraining bolt is more like Neem is trying to grope around for, well, an Imperial connection or a little more technical knowledge on how these things work. If we're going to try to block them.
You know, the last guy that was in here talking about restraining bolts was what was that guy's name? It was a really silly mechanical name. Cogsworth? Sprocket? No, Cog, that's it. He was in here and he bought the thing. What was it? He bought... Oh, right. He bought the logic processor to a T-Series tactical droid. And was asking all about, how do you install this? How do you get this set up on a network? I don't know what it was. Wait, is that a T-Series head? What's with all these people wanting T-Series droids all of a sudden? I mean, you're a very fine T-Series droid.
They're just, it's a new fad right now. Just everybody's got to have T-Series tactical droids. You know how, you know, old things come back around.
The Jarek game scene. Apparently their tactical programming really helps. They beat Mandalorians 9 out of 10 times.
Nima is going to reach down where he's holding this restraining bolt, and she's just going to pluck it from his hand.
You don't want to sell it?
We're happy to sell the droid bits here in exchange for a few spare parts, but we're going to keep the restraining bolt. What do you know about sound dampening fields?
Sound dampening fields? Well, I know Shula has one. No, wait, we do have a few bits and bobs around here.
And he then is only sort of like the absent-minded shopkeep can, is sort of going around with his hand sort of raised in the air, one going to the little pointy chin from here, and then taking it off the shelf and literally hucking it behind him, like over his shoulder, expecting someone to catch it. If no one's in behind him, he's just going to leave this trail of parts.
Kif will go catch when she figures out what it, when she twigs onto what's going on.
At the end, Kith is actually pretty loaded down with parts. And you can see that there's a fair amount of equipment. It's got some really weird oscillating speakers. It's a bunch of parts that look like they could like be a giant PA system, could be any number of things, but it's a lot of audio parts. Like, it could be a giant noise generator, giant quiet generator, lots of different things. Like, there is definitely, let's say, there's about 1,000 credits worth of parts in hand.
Takes all of this to build a sound dampening field?
I believe it. Can I make a roll to see if there's anything that he's tossed in that is, while useful, technically superfluous?
Not at this time. He's going to turn around as you're starting to go through the different parts. It's like,
oh, well, all of these parts here, they absolutely will work for a sound dampening field. Well, some of them are going to be a bit more, some of them are going to be a bit less. It really depends on how big of a sound dampening field you need. Is it going to be as big as this unit? Is it just going to be for one person? Is it just going to be for one conversation? How long does it need to last? This year, if you leave this protocol droid with me, it's a fair trade.
We need flexibility. I don't want Kif standing around going, oh, I wish we had this part so we can make it bigger. Just get all the parts.
I agree. If you just want the protocol droid for an exchange for all these parts, you have yourself a deal.
Except the restraining bolt, which you have in your hand.
I'm not reminding him about that.
Neither am I.
If no one else has anything, I want to make a request. So Matu has just been standing there holding this head, and he's looking around the shop. And what I would like to do is to flip a light side point for him to see a big bin marked question mark. And it's just like a bin full of stuff. Like, he doesn't, you know, poor Quirgle here, he doesn't even know what it is. It's just, but he bought it and he's like, you know what? It's just, it's a credit per pound of scrap or whatever. And I, basically what I want him to see in this question mark bin is an old Geonosian sonic blaster, that nobody identifies, but Matu being Matu is like, ooh, that might be useful.
Okay. The one caveat that I have with that is I kind of want it disabled. Since it's coming out of a junk bin.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. We can fix it later.
Maybe he thought it was like a child's toy or something.
Yeah, he turned it on and all it did was...
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. It's like, tries flicking it on and on. The circuits look like they're working, but nope. Quigley they can't figure slightly. It out.
Give it to the kids.
That seems safe. It's just an ancient gun.
Here, play with this.
They won't figure out how to musket load.
So, are we cool with this? Can we snag a broken Geonosian Sonic Blaster real quick?
Well, do you have a credit to give him for the pound of scrap? Or do you need to borrow a credit from someone?
It, again, being the mother of the group, it's one of those things that, like the child, you know, the child has walked up with a toy. can I get this? how much for it?
Oh, that? It came out of the barrel? Yeah. That's one credit.
Okay, here you go. Here's a credit. I'm gonna put a credit on the counter for him.
There's a bucket I can go through. Kith leaves everything she was working on the counter and runs over.
Oh yeah. Okay. You are limited to 5 items.
Oh my. what are you looking for?
I'm looking for certain kinds of like oversized servos, just bits and bobs that might be part or able to be included in a larger project, as it were.
All right, I'm going to go with just a flat 2 purple, 1 setback mechanics check.
2 purple, what setback?
Yep, one of these days it's going to be like 4, and you're going to be wondering what the heck.
I'll be like, crap, I actually have to include 2 of those. 2 success!
So, off the top of it, Matthew was able to get the Geonosian Sonic Blaster. Kith sort of rummages around in there, on the bottom, finds this weird joint, and then just starts pulling it out, and it just sort of feels like the entire bottom of the barrel is coming out, and then shakes it a little bit, a bunch of pieces fall through, and this fairly large, it definitely for this 5 credits worth, a fairly large claw comes out. Like, this is a claw that's about a quarter the size of Kith.
Oh my. So she's standing on the edge of the barrel, just, you know, hauling this out hand over hand, and then she just, when it breaks free, she just falls on her backside and she's like, yes. And then she looks over at Nima with the biggest smile on her face. Like, look what I found.
How much for that one? And while we're at it, is that a sound amplification little system right here? And she's gonna pick a little device off of one of the shelves.
Oh, that? Yeah. It looks a lot like what you already have. On your outfit. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, your collar popper?
Yeah, her collar amp.
That's an older model, but yeah, nope, that absolutely is.
We'll get this and the claw and the toy gun, and she looks over at TV like, is there anything you want?
I'm horrified.
Get one of the B1 things. Get one of the B1 things.
Actually, technically, Kith wanted one of those, but she got distracted. One of the B1 bits.
Remote processor modules.
Yeah, he does hate them. Target practice.
Oh, sure. Wow.
Oh, I hate everything.
Help me! Save me from this horrifying fate! General, over here!
There is no escape.
Commander! Yes! Yeah!
how much for the lot?
For the lot, it's going to be about 300 credits.
300 credits? A lot of this stuff is pretty old and beat up, and Well, frankly, I don't know what you are going to do with that claw any more than I know what she's going to do with it.
But it's a fully articulated claw. I mean, really.
Yeah, look at the action on this joint. She holds it up and bends it.
Helping Kith.
And then bends it again.
Given how excited her kids are at the moment, Nima's going to try to talk them down. How about 250?
Roll a one purple, one red negotiation.
Take that light side point.
You want me to light side this?
We want our stuff, man.
All right, sure. Or we got the money for it. Just, you know, we're going
to. Yeah, but if we don't have to spend it.
So Nima is trying to barter him down. And meanwhile, Kith's, like, just excitement is just overwhelming. It's kind of like Ghostbusters, where you're trying to negotiate for the firehouse and Ray Stantz is super excited. At some point,
did you see this poll?
This is great. At some point, she just gives up and hands him the three.
I'm gonna get my stuff. He should throw something in for the advantage, though. Something nice for the lady.
I'm gonna go to a morgue, find some meat sack's head, articulate his jaw up and down, and say, "Oh, look at me! I was shot. I sure hope my spare parts are useful."
Actually, we do try to reuse organs when we can.
Blood dripping down my arm.
Just don't
arm.
Keep as well as droid parts.
You think this makes everything better?
What's the name of the shop again?
Quigley's Electronic Repair.
I think amongst all the receipts and the picking up the parts, he tosses in like a refrigerator magnet, and when TV's not looking, Watu puts
yes!
it back. It just says Quirgle's Electronics.
Quigley's. Quigley, Chris.
Quigley's. Sorry.
Okay.
Quigley's Electronics. It's
yeah.
Just this.
That's kind of perfect. And as you guys are taking this arms load worth of equipment, heading back to the Kappa class shuttle that you arrived on, all four of you just sort of arms full of stuff. Well, there's Kith dragging this. It looks like a. A foot, like a claw, that she's just sort of dragging. It's a little too heavy for her to actually just carry. Almost sort of like a giant version of it just being dragged. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Christine, on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K.
You can find TV at iBrent Brown on Twitter.
You can find me and by proxy Kith at LeslitGS.
You can find me at SilZeroChris. That's SilZero, named so for my other podcast, Silhouette Zero, a story about trash people. Well, Jawas, but, you know, trash people.
You're a monster.
We're at theHydianWay.com, where you can find previous episodes, as well as our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way.
If you want to ask questions for the question episodes, you can send them to heroes@theHydianWay.com. I suggest, why is Matu so mean to TV? Why does Kith stick unicorn stickers on TV? Why does Nima order TV around to do strange things? Basically, any TV-related question would be welcome. Please help me. Please.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.